We want to, we'll pray for your dad at the end of service. He texted me this morning. Yeah, so he texted me, and we'll pray for him at the end of service. His heart's been out of rhythm for a couple of weeks, and he wants the church to pray for him, so we're going to do that. But what we'll talk about this morning, as you can see on the screen, a clean slate. How many like to have a clean slate? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, I want you a picture. Once again, I'm going back to the old days. Think about when you were in school and they had what they called a chalkboard. Remember that? Where they actually used chalk and a board and an eraser, and you had to beat the eraser to clean them. Remember that? A chalkboard, a teacher would put all this stuff up on there, all these problems, all the assignments, you know, all the spelling words, whatever. She would write it. And it was so amazing to me that all that writing could be up there, and then with one little, you know, swoop, it was gone. And that is what the grace of Jesus has done for us. It's took all of our stuff, all of our junk, all the stuff that we carry, and it's wiped it away. That's what grace has done. And me and Melanie talked to so many people, and there's so many, and we talked about this lately. We just need to stick to what God says in His message. Don't listen to what all the man doctrine, all the man stuff. Listen to what God's Word tells us. God's Word brings us healing, and it brings us redemption. And it cleanses us, and it makes us whole. And it washes all of our sins away and gives us security of knowing, I live with Christ because Christ lives in me. That's the message. And we've gotten so far from that. And, you know, it's really sad. You know, our son's in Nebraska, and he was going to church for a while with some of his family, but he called and said, you know what? Says she is so just, you know, particular part, so judgmental, so hypocritical, and says, you know, everything is so judged. And said, when I walk in this church, and you've seen my son, when you walk in the church, I feel so judged. And that's one thing he didn't feel here as much, but he said, I feel so judged. And they're looking at me, and then I hear Christians talk this way, but they say one thing, and they're this, and they're that. And we've gotten away from what, you know, what did the Bible say? God is love. God is love. We're going to look different. We're going to act different. We may not do some things everybody likes, but understand that Jesus died for the whole world, not just one part of it, not one nation, not one race, not one language. He died for the whole world. No matter how we look or where we come from, that's who He died for. And so we need to go back to what the gospel says and realize the good news. You don't have to stay where you're at. You don't have to stay all cluttered up and messed up. But God can heal and remove and restore all that's broken, fix all that's wrong, and erase all that's there if you allow Him to. And we don't need to carry that burden. So let's get into scriptures. This is Psalm 103. We're going to be in Psalm 103, beginning with verse 2. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. His benefits. Sometimes we forget that we serve a God who has all the benefits. We did a benefit package years ago. Some of you might remember that. Years ago, the fire department did a benefit package. In fact, Bob Shepard, before he passed away, had his gas station down in Mortimer's garage. He kept it on there in the waiting room for people that waiting on a car to read. And it was a benefit package. It gave verses of our benefits, our healing, our redemption, our deliverance, our peace, our joy, you know, our strength, benefits. Sometimes we fail to forget all the benefits God has for us. Look at the next verse. I love this. Who forgiveth? How many of our iniquities? All of them. Who forgiveth all of our iniquities? Who healeth all our diseases? David's saying we got a God who has forgiven, who's put in the past the things we have done wrong. We have a hard time forgiving us. And I want to tell you something. You are in here, many of you are in here right now, as the pastor, I'm privy to information many of you don't have, of course, because people talk to me and I know, you know, a lot of things about some of your personal lives. And I want to tell you this. There's nothing wrong or sinful about struggling. We all do. Don't let anyone tell you that you shouldn't be struggling if you're Holy Ghost filled. You shouldn't be struggling if you really have been saved. We all have a battle. We all have a struggle. And don't let the struggle be what you see. Let the Redeemer be what you see. Don't let the pain be what you see. Let the healing be what you see. Don't let defeat be what you see, but let the victory in Jesus be what you see. Because he knows your struggle. He knows what you're battling. He knows that you have an issue here or a weakness here or a problem here. But yet, he died for you, knowing that you couldn't get it together yourself. If we had it together ourselves, there would have been no need for a cross or a Savior or a Redeemer or Jesus. There would have been no need for it. But there is a need. There's a great need. There's a great spiritual need in this world for something to feel what we can't feel. And that's why we see our world, and not just our young generation, but even my generation. We see a generation that is seeking after things to fulfill their flesh, to fulfill their soul, fulfill their mind, and it doesn't work. We get drugged deeper and deeper and deeper in a hole because we are trying to cover up and mask our problems through drug use or alcohol use or sexual use or whatever we are into. We try to mask the problem, try to mask the pain and mask the hurt and try to find strength in that. Whenever Jesus says, "Don't you know, I love you like you are. I love you when you're broken. I love you when you're struggling. I love you when you're battle scarred. I love you regardless of what you're going through. My love is greater than your sin. My plan is greater than all you've done. I am not a wrathful God, but I'm a God of mercy and peace and love. And want you to know how much I want you to hear that and receive that and feel that." Glory to God. Church, God loves us. We're not serving a God that's like, "Oh, do that one thing and I'm going to bust you to hell." No, God saved the hell out of us. Don't you understand that? He saved us from hell. Glory to God. That's who we serve. But man, the world and sometimes people and even our parents or our family or good-meaning religious folks, man, we'll be walking and feeling good about what God done for us, and then we get tripped up and bumped back down, and we're back in that miry pit feeling like nothing. I had someone tell me, you know, I didn't come to church on Sunday nights. We used to have Sunday nights. They said, "I don't come on Sunday nights because, well, I drink watching football on Sunday afternoons. I drink a little bit, and I feel bad coming on Sunday nights." That's the mentality. So we're in such condemnation and guilt that it affects someone coming to church. Understand something. Your drinking don't mean God don't love you. And all the stuff you do don't mean God don't love you. God loves you. And don't listen to lies of the devil to tell you that you're unworthy or you're too bad or you're too this or you're too that. God wants to break the strongholds in your life. And the greatest stronghold is the lie of the enemy. The lie of the devil, reminding us totally of what we were. When God says, "I want to tell you what you are a holy nation, you are a peculiar people, you have been called out of darkness into the kingdom of the dear Son, you have been translated now, and you are mine forever." If we know who we belong to, think about a little kid, Mavericks lost at Walmart. There's a million mamas in Walmart at any given time. Million mamas walking around. Mavericks got lost somewhere, and he's looking around. He sees this woman. "That ain't mama. That ain't mama. That ain't mama." And it could be other women that look like D, blonde hair, same age, whatever. But that's not mama. He's not going to be satisfied until he finds mama. And when he finds mama, he knows who his mama is. He knows who he belongs to. Don't matter what woman says, "Come here, little baby. I'll take you to mama." "Mm-mm, you're not my mama." We should be that way. The devil's saying, "Come on, come on. You're not my father. God's my father. God's my king. And I'll follow no other voice but the voice of God. For I am his sheep, and no other voice shall I follow." Know who you belong to. My God, know who you belong to. We sing songs like that, right? "I'm a child of the King. Yeah, I've been born again, bought by the blood." Well, if you've been bought by the blood, you're bought. I mean, I bought these shoes. They're mine. If I don't like them, oh well, I bought them. I mean, God bought me with a price. The Bible says I'm bought with a price. The very blood of Jesus paid the price for me. Glory to God. Y'all hang on a little longer. We might have church in here. Verse 4. "Who redeemeth our life from destruction." He redeemed us from destruction. "And who crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies." What if we showed others the same mercy Christ showed us? How would our children be different? Now, I'm talking about my own life. I realize raising kids is hard. You got one chance to do it. And most of us blow most of that. And by the time we realize how it could have been different, they're already too late. That's why we love grandchildren. I'll do it right with them. You got one chance to go around. And if we would show the same mercy and the same love and the same tenderness that Christ showed us. Because, see, people want to be loved. You know why girls give themselves away so easily to men? They want to be loved. They want to be accepted. But when you have your self-worth in Christ, then you know what? You feel loved. And you have something that has your standards in place to say, you know what? I don't need to go that route because I know who I belong to. I know who I belong to. I belong to my Lord. I have a Heavenly Father who loves me. But we have these girls giving themselves away younger and younger, giving themselves away. Middle school children are already engaging in sexual activity rampantly. 7th, 8th grade girls already haven't even grown up, have no idea what they're doing, but giving themselves away because little Johnny looks at them the right way and bats his eye or says something to them or puts pressure on them or says controlling things to them. But when we know who we belong to, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm the temple of God, and I won't give myself away that easy. You've got to work for me. You know, I know we don't have many young girls in here now, but we have some, excuse me. We don't have many teenagers in here right now. We have plenty of young women. Minnie, Mom, George Ann, young women. I want to say this. If girls would make a guy fight for them, they wouldn't get near the trouble they get into. Fight for them. Say, you know what? You want me? You got to earn me. You got to fight for me. I'm not going to give myself away because you say that. But the reason they do that is because they're looking for something to fulfill them. The reason our drug culture is so rampant and the reason that drug use and alcohol use is just everywhere and people are just trying to find something to satisfy, but all that wears off. All that wears away. And then we're left still with the same problem. You can fill your car up today till the needle's past the full button. I mean, it's pegging out. It's so full. But guess what? You're going to run out. Eventually, you're going to stop again and refuel. Same way with the world. The world, we got to keep refueling and refueling and refueling. But what God does for you remains. That anchor is steadfast. That anchor is secure. And that anchor is everlasting. And we have that to draw from any time that we want it. It's always there. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger, and He's plenteous. He's got a bunch of mercy. I mean, He just got bunches of it. And people all the time are so concerned and worried about lines that they've crossed and things that they've done. And how could a holy, loving God possibly look upon them with any kind of mercy? He did that 2,000 years ago. He looked upon the whole creation with mercy and says they can't do it themselves. They can't find me themselves. They can't fulfill that law themselves. They can't do it themselves. They've got to have strength. And I want to say this. I want the church to hear this. So many of us, people tell me this. Well, I want to give my heart to the Lord, and I know I need to change, and I feel God calling me, but I know I can't really walk right. I know I may still do this. I know I may not be able to let go of this right away. I know I'm still going to struggle with this. Understand, just come to God as you are and just trust Him with your life and watch what His power and strength will do. It will help you. It will strengthen you. It will change some things. Sure, things might not happen overnight. I've heard stories, people got saved and they didn't drink another drop the rest of their lives. They quit smoking, quit drinking, quit cussing. I mean, boom, just had an immediate deliverance. And that's wonderful. For some others, a little bit slower process. For some others, it might take, God changes you, but then you still have a struggle. You still go back and dip a little bit here and this, and dip a little bit here and this, but you've been changed, and it doesn't feel right anymore, and you know that's not who you are anymore. And so God reminds you, no, I've saved you, and that's not who you belong to. Don't think the struggle, don't think falling down means you don't have it. Church, Christ died knowing we would fall over and over and over again. There's not one Christian lived that hasn't failed short of the glory of God. Nobody, and nobody ever will. We all fall short of that glory. But God is plentiful in mercy that says, I look beyond all your stuff. See, the problem we have, if you're like me, we look in the mirror and see ourselves and see our mistakes and we see our failures. But what God sees is a child. It's kind of like how you, if you have children, how much you love them. And no matter what they do or how rebellious they are or how much they act out or how much stress they cause you in your life, you can't help but look at them with love. You may want to wring their neck. You may be at a point of just about to boil over, but you can't stop loving them. That's your kid. They may be, a hellion rebellion, so to speak, but by George, you're a hellion rebellion. And that's just how it is. They're your kid. That's how God sees us. We see all of our mistakes. We see all of our failures. We're like, man, Pastor, if you just don't know the guilt and the shame that I carry. Sure, I've carried guilt and shame. I know what that's like. But I know this, that God bore my griefs and my sorrows, that he was bruised for my iniquities, he was wounded for my transgressions, and by his stripes I am healed. I am healed. My spiritual sickness has been resolved by the grace and the drop of blood from my Lord and Savior. When that stone rolled away the third day, my God, our lives were changed forever. Because death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again. And because he rose the third day, I too have risen from the death and the hell and the darkness of my past and my sins and have been set free and delivered. We are going to struggle. And I'm going to tell you this. I've said before, the people that bark the loudest about being all religious are usually the ones you better watch. I'm just telling you. Because when somebody has that thing about always, they got together and you know, and they're always the one judging. They've got the gavel, right? Well, if it was me, well, it ain't you. Well, I would tell them, you don't need to tell them nothing. You need to pray for them and love them. My God. I've said many times the church ought to be the one place that anybody walks off that street and feels safe. That there's hope. There's hope. I've had folks in this sanctuary, some of you I know probably recognize over the years. I know I'm not that naive. You've seen it probably. I've had folks in this sanctuary through the years on numerous occasions that have been completely intoxicated sitting in this church, that have been high on drugs sitting in this church. High. And you know what? They were in the sanctuary hearing the good news. We have had homosexuals and lesbian couples in this church sitting here hearing the Word of God. They've come to me and talked to me before, says, hey, we're a couple. Is it okay we come? I said, I have no problem being here. I don't want you causing the scene. I want you to behave yourselves. But yes, you're welcome to be here and hear the word. See, we're great about measuring sins. We're great about throwing that out. We're great about, wow, they wear shorts to church. But you're talking about them wearing shorts to church. They shouldn't have their hair green or purple. My God, if I had hair, I'd have probably 10 different colors. I mean, I'd love to have hair. I'm telling you, thank God. Wear it away. If you got it, work it, girl. Or guy, work it. I mean, those things are, it's amazing how the good news, the message, is getting skipped over because they can't hear it. All they're hearing is you. Get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost have its way, and then lives will be changed and transformed. Not up to us. I didn't die for you. Nobody died for you. And here's another thing. We let people keep us in bondage. We let people control us. There are times in my own life I've let people put so much pressure on me that I think about what they said. It controls me. I'm like, why am I giving that person so much power in my life? Why am I doing that? I've got to cut that loose. All I need to know is I'm loved by my Heavenly Father. I'm loved by God Almighty, that I am the redeemed. I've been reconciled back unto Christ. I am the blood-bought saint of God that He called me to be. All I need to know is I'm His. And there aren't no protocols and jumping hoops to try to get there. It is our faith in Christ alone. Look at the next verse. He hath, I love this, look, He's not dealt with us after our sins. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad for that? For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He, notice how it has worded, hath, it's done. He removed our transgressions from us. He hath removed as far, you know what He's saying here? David's saying, don't even think about it anymore. Don't think about it. When you think about your new life in Christ, yes, you were in sin, but now you're in Christ. Yes, you were born in unrighteousness, but now you've been transformed into His righteousness. It's been removed as far as the east is from the west, but we keep kicking ourselves when other people buy, and we let good-meaning people keep us down. I'm telling you something. This is not a religion. It's a relationship. There's a big difference. Religion has rules and regulations and overheads and all that. Our only head is Jesus. The Bible says Jesus Christ is head of the church. He's head of the church. And that's it. I don't think I have any bottled water, Margo. I'm sorry. Yeah. So don't let other people pull you into their lair and put you down and keep you down when God has raised you up. Go to the next scripture. This is in Hebrews. This gets good right here. You're going to love this, okay? Look at Hebrews 10:10. This is, I'm telling you, when we really read what the Word of God says, it changes us. I mean, it truly changes us. 10:10 in Hebrews says, by the which we are sanctified. Sanctified means set apart. We've always, you know, associated sanctified with being holy, sanctified with living right. Oh, we got to get sanctified, sanctified, sanctified. We got to live sanctified, sanctified. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Leave it right there. Don't go. We are sanctified, set apart through not our works, not denomination, not shouting, not dress code, not reading scriptures, not giving our tithes, which is important, by the way. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And look what it says. Once, hallelujah, once for all. Hallelujah. Once for all, we're sanctified. One offering for all people was enough to set us apart for His service. Hallelujah. Gets even better. Every priest that standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins, but this man, Jesus, after He had offered how many? One sacrifice for sins forever. Glory. I want y'all to just look at that. Jesus offered Himself one time for sins forever. Sat down at the right hand of God. He's saying, I did it. It is done. No more offering. No more sacrifice needed. It is complete. It is finished. I fulfill the law. I have made a plan of redemption. All is done. The only thing we do is place our faith in what He has done and says, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. I believe You paid that for me. Oh, yes, Lord. I believe You hung on the cross. Yes, Lord. I believe You're born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost, raised the third day, ascended forevermore. Oh, yes, Lord. I believe what I couldn't do myself, You did it for me in one offering. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want that. How do I get that? Call upon My name and You shall be saved. And that's what we do. Yes, Lord. Yes. He forever and then sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 14, here it is again. For by how many offerings? One. This takes away all the got saved 22 times in my life. I got resaved. I mean, I heard that all my life growing up. Yeah, I got saved again. Well, I got saved one time. Well, then I really got saved. Well, I really got saved that time. I really got saved that time. I understand, church, I understand that we have to, you know, we repent. And we get through seasons where we come to God and say, Lord, I'm wrong, and I'm not living the way you want me to, and God, I'm sorry. And we have that restoration. I understand that. We need that, absolutely. It's like you have a fight with your wife. You say, hey, I'm sorry. You know, forgive me, I'm sorry. But look at this. He offered one offering, and that one offering perfected, how long? Forever. Them that are sanctified. My God, this really is the good news. It's amazing how mucky and how muddy that church teaching throughout years have muddied this up. That, okay, yeah, I'm a child of God and I'm saved, but they add the buts in it, you know, or the ands in it, or the ors in it. You know, you saved by grace, but. Saved by grace, but. Yeah, I believe in the cross, but. I believe that's, yeah, I'm saved, but you know what? I'm really, you know, I don't know. I'm so glad I have this assurance that me going to heaven has nothing to do with James David Lewis. Me going to heaven has everything to do with Jesus David Christ. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I am thankful for that. I am thankful that I can have assurance that the price he paid was enough for my ticket to be stamped. And I can, church, I can enjoy this journey. I don't know why folks want to not share the explicit purity of the gospel in its purest form that takes us out of the equation completely and puts God in the center of all things. Because we cannot get there no matter what we do or how we try to live. Because once again, let's really think about this. And I've heard this, grew up, and many of you grew up in this environment where the drinker was going to hell, the smoker was going to hell, the gambler was going to hell. But where do we stop? Where do we stop? Because Jesus says, and I won't call any of you men out. Well, we'll use men, I'm a man. Jesus says, if you look at a woman in the wrong way, you commit adultery in your heart. How many adultery men we got in here today? You may not drink a bud or smoke a camel or say a four-letter word, but don't tell me. Don't tell me when you're out in Walmart and somebody in a little black dress walks by. Yeah. Or don't tell me you go to the beach to look at the ocean. Yeah. And you women the same way, don't tell me. And that police officer walks in uniform. Y'all reported an incident. Yeah. Wow, you look pretty. Don't. Okay. You may not drink, may not smoke a camel, may not say a four-letter word, but you want to get arrested right there. I'm just saying. It depends, I know. It depends. I mean, if I was in uniform, I'd understand that. But, So here's my thing. If we're going to start judging and piling up who goes to heaven by how we live, wow. Really? That could be endless. Any of you watch soap operas? That's not real holy. Look at y'all all acting I'm so holy. Okay, see, don't watch soap operas. I'm just saying, a lot of times, guess what? What you're watching, the man and woman in bed are not married, just so you know. And so that would be called, in the church world, sin. And we're endorsing that. So it could just go on and on and on. Thank God I can trust this. Jesus, your offering perfected, completed what I could never do. Thank you, Lord, for paying that price. When he went to the man said, how much I have, eternal life? He says, keep the commandments. Remember, the guy said, well, I've kept the commandments. He was all cocky, kind of like Elizabeth. Yeah, I don't want soap operas. You know, doing all that. I've kept the commandments. I've not done this. You know, and then he says, well, go sell what you have Follow me. Said he went away sorrowful because he was a man with great possessions. See, the heart. We may not do the outward things, so to speak, but there's a lot of inward storms going on. We all fight those. All of us have temptations. All of us have weaknesses. All of us have struggles. All of us have things that we battle. All of us. Paul said that. What I want to do, I can't. What I can't do, I want to do. He always battled with his flesh. Always, and we always will, church. We're not going to be so Holy Ghost filled in the earth that we never have any more battles or temptations. It's there. Thank God I've been perfected by this one offering. He says in verse 16, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. He said, I'm going to change the order of things. Instead of observing from the outside in, you're going to start observing from the inside out. I'm going to change in here. Because see, when we really are born again, we want to serve God. We don't serve God out of fear of hell. We serve God out of love for Him. I don't stay with Melanie because I'm afraid of her. I mean, I don't. I stay because I love her. You know, I used to have a saying, you know, cheaper to keep her, three kids, right? But two of them's legal now, so we're getting on, trying to go to the side a little bit. But I'm just saying, I stay with her because I love her. I want to be with her. You know, I do think, I left a little, did you get my little note on the door this morning? I left a little note on the door this morning. And I left that note on there when she got up on the door when she walked out. Yeah, but you're up. Yeah, but you get to work before I do. So, I mean, you're gone. Anyway, take away the good thing I did. You know what? You know my note was this morning. I wrote this little. I'm trying to make a point. I wrote on the note, "Good morning to my beautiful wife." Isn't that sweet? Thank you. Got off. Thank you. Anyway, the point is this. I wrote that note because I wrote you a couple of notes. I wrote you good morning, beautiful girls the other morning with Ashley and Ashley, my beautiful girls or something. Ashley and Melly, I mean. But anyway, you went home. Anyway, I did it because I love her. I didn't have to do that. I don't have to write a note to my wife. I don't have to do something special. I don't have to take her car and get it clean and bring it back to her all clean. I do it not because I'm in the doghouse. I do it because I love her. And so when we serve God, when we learn to serve Him out of love and not. And when I say this, I understand, yes, we fear God in the sense of He's God. But we don't live in a state of, I'm afraid of God. The Bible says that we approach His throne with boldness. That He's made access for us to fellowship with Him. That we don't have to be afraid to talk to Him, to worship Him, to love Him, to serve Him, to pray to Him. But we boldly can come into His presence. Yes, Lord, I'm Your child and You're my Father. How, you know, behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God. Glory, that's who we are. Next verse. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Turn that air up a little bit. It's cold, a little bit cold in here. I'm actually a little bit cold, so I know y'all are freezing probably. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that good news? Well, you know what that means? It means they're not held against us. If you go to court, some of y'all been in court, know what court's all about. We won't call you names, but y'all been in court, know all about that. When you get a case dismissed, got a witness for Jesus. When you get a case dismissed, that's the perfect scenario. Because that means it's like it never happened. Case dismissed is like it never happened. That's what Christ did. Your case dismissed. But God, You don't know what I dismissed. But Lord, I'm still going to, it's covered. But Lord, I'm still going to sin even after I give my heart. It's covered. I got You. I know that. I know that. That's why your faith has to be in the atoning blood. That's why we have an intercessor in Christ always intercessing for us. Because He knows. See, that blood is not just, here's where the mistake's been made, I think, many teachings. In different denominations, I mean, different denominations all over. People have taught that every time we make a mistake, verbally say, Lord, I'm sorry I made that mistake, forgive me, and we die, we go to hell. So that's been taught to some of us. Well, my God, can we really, how do we even measure that? Have you really confessed every individual sin you've ever done in your life? There's no way. We couldn't. Y'all couldn't get through the weekend, much less 40 years of your life. I mean, think about it. Every single thing that would violate God and His holiness, we can't touch that. I mean, we couldn't even touch it. So to know that, you got the next. Look at this. Where remission, that means forgiveness. Where forgiveness of sin is, which is us, there is no more offering for sin. It's done. Hallelujah. It's done. So I can rest and have peace in my Lord and Savior that He did enough in that one offering to cover me all of my days. Think about that. Cover me all of my days. This wasn't a one-time thing where, because here's the deal. If I had to, and I know this is different teaching from many of us because we just haven't heard the true gospel. Not really. Not without man's hands on in it. This is what the Word says. Whenever we mess up, if we had to keep getting forgiveness over and over for every individual failure, then these verses make no sense. One offering forever, perfect the saints. Where there's remission of sins, there's no more offering. Jesus, You're enough all of my days. And when we start understanding that, we will walk in more power than we ever walked in condemnation teaching. Way more power, because we'll know who we belong to. I'm a child of the King. And when we know how much He loved us, that even in our failures, He loves us. Even when you're hitting the bottle on Saturday night, He loves you. Even if you're popping the pills on Sunday morning, He loves you. Whatever you're doing, He loves you. He loves you. No matter what you're doing or where you're at, when you know Christ loves me and He wants me to be His, all of a sudden, I don't need that anymore. I don't need to do those things or walk that way because, gosh, I know who I belong to. Love is so much more powerful than hate. Love is so much more powerful than condemnation and guilt. We weren't meant to carry that guilt and that shame. That's why Christ carried it. Remember what Christ said? Or what the Bible says in Isaiah 53? The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. He bared every burden. The Bible says we have a high priest who feels our infirmities. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're battling. And every time we fail, it doesn't mean we've got a ticket down to hell. It means we failed. And He knew that. And that's why the grace and the blood of Jesus is so powerful. 1 John 1 and 9. This verse, if we confess our sins, if we go to God and say, Lord, I know I'm wrong. I know I need a Savior. And I know, God, I'm going to sin after this moment. And I need to let You know I need a Savior. We are born in sin. People that try to contradict that doctrine, you can't deny we're born in sin when you look at your children when they're little. We're born in sin. I've seen Tay act out a little bit, and I've seen him not listen. And I've seen him say, you know, no. Especially Kingston, no. But seen Tay act out. I've seen Maverick act out. What causes that? D's not training Maverick to act out. Now, when I tell you to do something, you say no and scream and look at me and run away and slam the door. No, we don't train our kids that way. You have to train them to be good. You know why? Because they're bad by nature. And all of us are. Even us seasoned Holy Ghost Christians that we got it all together, and we're looking at those others in the church like, man, why don't they get together, man? Lord, they're always whiny. They're always... Let your button be pushed. We all got one. And you'll see the old sin man come out pretty quick. I'm telling you. We used the example of Melanie's traffic issue a few weeks ago. Sweet little Melanie about went postal on 115. All right? We all have that. I've got my buttons. And each of us, Christians the same way. Somebody pulls out in front of her, she gets so mad about that. I just can't let it pull out in front of me. What are they thinking? You know, just we all, you don't think sin can come out? Oh, it can come out. Let somebody cheat you a dollar. See what happens. I mean, just let them cheat you a dollar. Let your bill be wrong. The sour cream, 99 cents, not $1.99. Come here, waiter. 99 cents sour cream extra. Make a big deal of a dollar. I've never come back to this place. They don't know what to do. I mean, we all have that. Sin comes out. So what the Bible says, if we confess our sins, if we say, Lord, yes, I know I'm in sin. I know I have sin. He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is nothing greater than feeling clean. Oh, it's a wonderful experience to know, God, you have washed my sins. And no longer, when I look in the mirror, do I have to look at what I was, but I can now look at who I am. That's yours. Your child, good or bad, your child. There is no perfect marriage. There is no perfect parent. There is no perfect child, even though some of us may think that. There's not. They all have failures, and they all have faults, and they all have flaws, and they all have battles. My grandparents were married for 60 years, or 61 years. 60? Yep, 60 years and 8 months married. And you know what? There were plenty of times in those 60 years that I'm sure Grandma threw the biscuit pan down the stove. Well, I'm just done. You go be that way. You can fix your own food. I'm out of here. And every time Grandpa probably said, I can't take it anymore. I'm going out to the woodshed and pretend I'm doing something just to get out of the house. I mean, you don't think they had problems 60 years? Yeah. Our kids that we raised to try to do right don't always do right, and we can't control them. And boy, that drives you crazy, a parent. How many times do we say, well, I raised them right? Yeah, we did. But you can't control them. So there's no perfect scenario, but there is a perfect God and a perfect plan. And this plan tells us through your imperfections, you are forgiven. Through your failures, you are forgiven. Through your weaknesses and struggles, you are forgiven. That's what grace is all about. That Jesus did what we could never do. And church, this is the message. This is the good news. And this is the gospel. And I'm telling you, I will never revert and go back into a message of condemnation and judgment and man-made rules ever, because that's not the gospel. The reason that has happened, for whatever reason, is man's control. I don't know. I don't know how we got that far. I don't know really what caused all that. But Paul preached the true gospel in its simplicity. He preached Christ crucified and risen. He preached the Lamb of God slain for our sins. When he was standing before all them leaders and soldiers and captains and guards and governors and mayors and whatever you call them back then, all them rulers, he made it very clear who he stood for. What name have you healed this man in? Name of Jesus, the one you crucified. You can't preach Jesus no more. Are you kidding me? You're not going to stop him from preaching Jesus. It threatened them because it took control out of their hands. The people were following the message instead of the messenger. And that's what we should be following, is the message and not the messenger. The message is what changes our lives, not the messenger. It's the message. When people know, you know, if our teenagers are, I've still got one, well, I got two teenagers, but one in the house. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. If our teenagers can know, I think sometimes we put such high expectations that they feel like they can't fail. And it's a burden they can't bear. We all fail. We all have failed, and we will fail again. But if we can know, and our young generation can know, you know what? Because you fail don't mean God don't love you. Because you mess up don't mean you're not forgiven. Because you do something bad doesn't mean God has cast you away. God's love is deeper and greater than any sin or any burden we could ever, ever carry. He can just take it off of us. He can wipe the slate clean. Wouldn't it be nice to have a clean slate? A start over. Just to be able to say, you know what, God, wipe away all the junk, all the lies, all the bad stuff, all the memories. God, I don't want to see what I've been seeing. I want to see you. I want to see your grace. That's what I want to see. God can do that. He can wipe that away. And you can leave here changed, and you can leave here different. Dee, come on up here. I want to pray for Doc right now. And Why? He wants you to stand in proxy for him. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's something kind of soft. Doc has been facing irregular heart rhythm for a couple of weeks, and Mr. Williams, that's what he's been facing. I called him this week. He called me back, and he's still really weak, and it's a very scary thing to have that. It's causing anxiety for Doc, and he's had it for 2 weeks, and we want to pray that God heals him and that God touches him. And he wants you to stand in proxy for him. He's in Florida, but we know God is there too. And we want to believe that God touches him right where he is right now. Father, as Dee stands in place for her dad, this heart you created, this heart you gave, this is your heart, Lord. And we pray that it come back into rhythm and this anxiety and this stress melt away, that you restore and change and fix and heal that heart situation. In the name of Jesus, we claim healing and victory for Doc Lee right now. Surround him wherever he is at, whatever he is doing, and let him feel your anointing and your touch. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to open the altar right now before we close. If you've heard the word, you've heard the message. If you want a clean slate today, just come talk to God. Say, Lord, wash my sins away. Clean me up. Restore me. I need a Savior. I need a Lord. If you would just bow your heads, though, in the audience this morning and let the Lord do his work this morning. If that is you, come talk to him at the altar this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. He sees you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He sees the blood. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. God is drawing you this morning. Just make that step to say, I want to leave with a clean slate. I'm tired of carrying what I'm carrying. I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of feeling condemned. I'm tired of feeling judged. I just want to know I'm forgiven and that God loves me. And I'm going to give all of my life today, all of my heart, everything. I'm going to place upon the one that did it for me. I know he died and I know he rose for me. I know I can have eternal life right now. This moment, I can have assurance that I will be with him forever. Placing all of my faith in what he has done. The Lord is drawing you this morning, church. Obey that and get healing for what you're carrying today. Thank God he sees the blood. He doesn't see you as you are. He sees you as who he is. Thank you, Jesus. God is there's no. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, he does. Thank you, Lord. He's near. Can y'all stand up with me for a minute? I want you to look at the person that's beside you just for a minute. Just look at them for a minute. No matter who they are, it might be your husband or wife or, you know, family. Each one of the people you're looking at is going through something. They're battling. You might not even know about it. They're battling something. They're going through something. I want you to grab each other's hands, if you would. Lord, for every heart in this place, for every battle, for every struggle, you are enough. And God, I pray the message was heard this morning loud and clear. I pray hearts will receive this good news, that they are not alone. And their failures doesn't mean they're unsaved. Their mistakes doesn't mean they're lost. It means they're human. And humanity could not accomplish what you did. Humans cannot go behind the Holy of Holies. Humans cannot go behind the veil. Only you could do that, God. And you went behind that veil, and you tore that veil wide open and made a way for us now that we can now go into that holy place because you did for us. And for every heavy heart, for every struggle, every stronghold, every addiction, every mind game, every lie, every sickness, every discouragement, every fear, God, I speak healing, deliverance, salvation, that each one be made whole by your love and by your grace, that we leave here transformed and changed by your Holy Spirit, that our slate is wiped away clean, and we leave here with a fresh breath of heaven in our lungs. In the name of Jesus, pour yourself upon this body. Pour yourself upon this body. God, pour your Holy Spirit upon all flesh in this body. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Sing it one more time, Margie.